Now, good evening, dear people. It is not the first time I'm at Grove City. It's the sixth time for me. But I've never been in a young people's meeting here. And I'm surprised to see so many. I didn't expect that. Neither did I expect so many real young people here. And while I was sitting there before and saw you, I realized that my talk might not be perfectly adjusted to you. And I apologize before I start that it might be sometimes a bit difficult. And I will try to make adjustments on the fly that you can follow. However, having listened now to Jennifer and to the rules of the game, it might be simple. I would like to tell you straight away, you are allowed to interrupt me whenever you have a question. Please do so. We make it a bit interactive, otherwise there is a risk that I lose you. I have prepared this not for young Christians, but I've prepared this a few years back for university students, and moreover of students mainly of physics. I don't know who likes physics here. There might be some of you, but there might be also some who think physics is a bit difficult. So I might skip a few slides and just focus on what is also maybe accessible for you in relation to this topic, creation or evolution. Where does the evidence lead? Can you all see well?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, as John mentioned before, I'm a scientist, at least as it concerns my professional life and work I'm doing. It's not very clear the picture here, but what you see. And there's a research, and we are doing their particle physics. That might be a topic which is completely unknown to you. Never mind. I'm working in that field, and I might tell you a little bit more about what we are doing as time allows, but I don't want to put too much emphasis on this. But I'm not only a scientist, as you No, as I'm here at the conference, first of all, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you click once, I mention it here. Now, for many people, also for my colleagues, it is something which doesn't fit together. How can you be a scientist on one hand, and on the other hand, how can you be a believer? Many think that that doesn't go together. And when I tell them, no, it's no problem for me at all, then they are a bit surprised, and it is a good opportunity to explain why. And some of the things I explain then I will also tell you tonight. But many have this preconception that there is a contradiction between science on one hand and faith on the other hand. Or some speak about religion. They don't go together. But I would like to show you first of all that it is not so. Now, if you could go further, okay, maybe we skip that. I have here just two statements. On one hand, of a person who is a declared atheist, Peter Atkins, who said science and religion cannot be reconciled. And on the other hand, a statement of Nobel Prize winner, whose name is Melvin Calvin, who said what is written here. As I try to discern the origin of the conviction that the universe is orderly, I seem to find it is in a basic notion discovered 2,000 to 3,000 years ago and enunciated first in the Western world by the ancient Hebrews, namely that the universe is governed by a single God and is not the product of whims of many gods, each governing his own province according to his own laws. This monotheistic view seems to be the historical foundation for modern science. It's a bit complicated, the whole statement, but basically he says, because of the fact that there's a creator God who has put everything in place and has put it all in order, only because of this we are able to do scientific research. Without that it would be impossible. But these are completely contradictory statements. Now if you go to the next one, you see that indeed there has been quite some conflict in history between science and religion, and for example in relation to Galileo. You know, that was a time when people argued whether the Earth is really at the center of the universe and the Sun is moving around the Earth, or whether we have a heliocentric view of the world, that means that the Earth is moving around the Sun. Now, Galileo had clear evidence that the Earth is moving around the Sun, and he ran into troubles with the church at that time. But what is pointed out here is that this conflict between this view, namely that the Earth is the center of the universe, which was held by the Catholic Church and also secular scientists at that time, and the observations, was not actually a problem between science and the Bible. And at that time there was really a lack of readiness to accept where the evidence leads, and to accept simply that indeed the evidence shows that the Earth is circling around the Sun. Now, that is something important to note. There is no contradiction, really, between science and the Bible if we do things properly. So the conflict to which we are exposed, and also you are exposed in school and mainly there, yes, or at university, is not so much really between science and the Bible, but it's really two different worldviews which are there. And that is something one has to get very clear, that these different worldviews are really the problem. And people have really a preconception and a starting point, which might be either, okay, I accept the Bible as the word of God, or to say, per definition beforehand, there is no God. And I try to explain everything by natural causes. Now, if you go one further, okay, let me show you a few pictures, just. And this in order to illustrate, indeed, that many scientists in history have been also strong believers. And, for example, Galileo was a believer. He was indeed completely convinced of the fact that God created. There was no doubt for him as to this. But many more were real believers and enjoyed also what we are privileged to enjoy, salvation, because of the fact that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. And such people have made wonderful observations, and these observations led them really to worship the Lord Jesus and really realize something of his greatness also as a creator. And as we think about the subject of creation and evolution, and the fact that so many around us really follow this idea and this theory of evolution, we see behind this an effort of the enemy, of the devil, to take away something of the glory and honor which belongs to the Lord Jesus. That should be very clear to us.